Jnanachamanandasya Jalanjana Tilakaya Saksu Smilitan Jena Tasmai Sri Gave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Kavalamayam Dalati Sapanantikam. Kopatubhyascha Kripasindhubhayevasa Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. We're reading from the fifth canto, the 18th chapter of the Bhagavatam. In this section, or just prior to this chapter, in chapter 17, Srila Sukadeva Goswami described the descent of the river Ganga, and in describing the descent of the Ganges, he described how it descended to this Bhumandala, and one part of Bhumandala is Jambadweep. So we're getting into the geography of the universe. Although that's not, at this point, it's not really the main subject that's being described, because in Jambadweep there are nine different varshas, or divisions. And one of those, Bharadvarsha, is meant for different activities. And the other varshas, or sections, Bharadvarsha, I can say it's India now. It's meant for acting, and then one will get the fruit of one's actions later on. And the other varshas are heavenly, even though they're on this middle Bhumandal, middle planetary system. The delights there and the situations there are very, very, very heavenly. So one by one, Sukadev Goswami is going to describe very, very briefly those varshas, but the main thing that he's going to emphasize is that each varsha has head persons, and those persons, they offer prayers to the Lord. So one by one, we're going to hear the prayers that are offered, and they're all very unique. So we've already heard Lord Shiva's prayers in Ilavritavarsha. And Ilavritavarsha, I made a few notes of what was described. In Ilavritavarsha, Lord Shiva described how the Lord is transcendental and therefore he is worshipable. He is worthy of all respect. Lord Shiva is saying, discussing his worshipable Lord, who is Shankarshan, who is the source of Anantadev. Anantadev is the expansion of the Lord, who is in the form of a snake and holding up the universe or the planetary systems. So Lord Shiva is worshipping Shankarshan and appreciating that he's completely transcendental. That means that he has nothing to do with this world of matter. He is completely detached from it. If one has attachment in the world of matter, one is trapped by that very attachment. That which we are attached to, why is someone attached to something? Because in the material world, because somehow or another, in a direct way or an indirect way, one is getting pleasure from that thing. In the material world, that pleasure is all selfish. It is unnatural. It is disconnected from Krishna. It is through the material energy and it binds one. It is through the Maya Shakti and it binds one. It is based on ahankar, or false ego, and it binds one to the material world. And being forever in the material world, those things that we are attached to. So the Lord, Lord Shiva explains, that he is completely detached, and that is part of being transcendental, or being a devotee, full devotee, is one is detached from matter and one is attached ultimately to the Lord. So of course the Lord himself, he is completely detached. He is not under the influence of the material energy. And he is unlimitedly powerful. So a living entity can be transcendental, but he can never be unlimitedly powerful like the Lord is unlimitedly powerful, because we are like sparks compared to the great fire of Krishna. So all living entities are under his control. And not only are all living entities under the Lord's control, and not only is he unlimitedly powerful and transcendental, all the different energies he has, prasya shakti vividhaiva shriyate, he has so many different energies, and they're all under his control. The material energy is just one of those energies. So all the energies are under his control, and in the spiritual energies, he has the Satchitananda, the Ladini Shakti, the Sambit Shakti, the Sandini Shakti, all different Shaktis, and the Bhu Shakti, Leela Shakti, so many different Shaktis under his control. And including the Maya Shakti, that very illusory energy that keeps us so tightly bound, and it is under his control. And by his grace, Lord Shiva says, by his grace only, one can escape from this Maya Shakti. One cannot do it by his own power. Therefore, Lord Shiva recommends in his prayers that we surrender to this all-powerful Lord and accept him as our shelter. And we should do this fully. Then, so this was in Ilavritta Varsha, Lord Shiva prayed in several verses. Then in the next Varsha is Bhadrasva Varsha. And the leader of the living entities there, his name is Bhadrasva. So Lord Shiva prayed that the Lord is fully powerful and all the energies are under his control. And to escape Maya, we have to take shelter of him. Bhadrasva, his point is somewhat different, but ultimately it comes to the same. Because what stops us from taking shelter of Krishna? We have so many things in our heart, so many desires. Anartha means those things that we consider valuable, but actually have no actual value, true value. So he's explained that we should clean our heart. And naturally, we theoretically think, I can speak for myself, yes, I should clean my heart. But when it comes to cleaning it of things that I'm attached to, then I will put that off, and I don't want to do that. I'd like to clean my heart theoretically, but practically speaking, I want to clean it and keep everything there. All the dirt, all the garbage, all the anarthas, all the ignorance, I want to keep it there. So he says, what is the reason why we should clean our heart? What is the urgency? And he explains that death is awaiting. Death is, in the Paranjana example, was compared to a tiger, or I think it was a tiger or an elephant. Maybe it was an elephant. Yes, it was an elephant in a cave that someone has wandered into, and there's an elephant in there, and there's no way to escape, and it crushes one. So death is waiting. So therefore, it behooves us to cleanse our hearts, because it imperceptibly happens. By the power of Maya, we go bumbling, whistling down the path of life, not thinking, oh, later I'll take to spiritual life, later, now I have so many desires and so many things I want to do. This is Maya that will in this way steal away our heart. So no one knows, Bhadrasva explains, that Maya is stealing away our life. No one knows that they're going to die. Does it feel like you're going to die? Does it feel like it? No, I feel like I'll live forever. This is actually true in one sense, because jo nityam shashvatoyam prano nahanyate hanyamane sharire. We naturally experience our existence as eternal, but it's not within this realm, within this body, within this situation, that it's eternal. That's Maya. So no one really feels like they're going to die, and this is due to the power of Maya. So Bhadrasva says everyone, even great scholars, even learned people are bewildered by Maya. And you are so powerful. Not only are you the controller of Maya, Mama Maya, Krishna says, my Maya. But you are the one who is making the creation. You're creating this entire universe. It's so huge. A scientist, a powerful person in this world may be able to do something, but look, just grasp a bit of what the universe is. We can't even imagine this planet in its intricacies, but the universe, with all the planets and all the varied galaxies or whatever that are up there. So the creation by His power, maintenance by His power, and destruction ultimately by His power. All this goes on by Krishna's inconceivable energy. Inconceivable for many reasons. One is we cannot conceive with our finite minds of the limit of this energy, of Krishna's power. And yet, inconceivable also, Pasyam Yogam Aishwaram, Krishna says, behold my mystic powers, my inconceivable powers. That although Krishna is doing, it's all resting upon Him, all this incredible material energy, vast, huge, but yet He doesn't do anything. It doesn't touch Him. He's not, it changes, but He doesn't change. Yet He's always expanding unlimitedly, yet there is no change. This is God. This is all everything is going on by His power. So therefore, he concludes that what can we do? We can't understand. We can just offer our obeisances. And then he puts in a very interesting point. We offer obeisances to this Lord whose determination never fails. And therefore, this all-powerful, if this all-powerful, all inconceivably powerful Lord becomes determined to remove Maya's influence over us, then it will happen. So that was Bhadrasva's prayers. And now, in Bhadrasva Varsha, now we're moving to the third Varsha. And this Varsha is called Hari Varsha. And in Hari Varsha, in each Varsha, a different devotee worships a different form of the Lord. So which form of the Lord is worshipped in Hari Varsha? Does anyone know? I'll give you a hint. His long nails, and with those long nails, he rips apart. Yes, he doesn't rip apart Lord Nrisingadev, but he is Lord Nrisingadev, and he rips apart Haranyakashipu. And who is the worshipper of Lord Nrisingadev there? Prahlad Maharaj. And we're going to hear about Prahlad Maharaj in which canto? Do you know? Of the Bhagavata? Which canto? Which canto? Seventh canto. So quite soon, actually, we'll be hearing about Prahlad Maharaj, who's a very amazing devotee. So here, in text 6, we're going to get some hint of how Prahlad Maharaj thinks. My dear king, Sukadev Goswami said, who is the king that he's speaking to? Who is the king that Sukadev Goswami is speaking to? Huh? Yeah, okay. If you say Maharaj Prickett, you will be saying it the way a Bengali would say it more. Or someone from New York imitating the way a Bengali would say it. So my dear king, he's speaking to Maharaj Prickett. Sukadev Goswami says, my dear king, Lord Nrisingadev resides in the tract of land known as Harivarsh. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I shall describe to you how Prahlad Maharaj caused the Lord to assume the form of Nrisingadev. Narasingha. Singha means, you know? Huh? What does Singha mean? You know? Lion. Sing means lion. And Nara means human. So half lion, half Nara, half human, half Singha, half lion. So Lord Nrisingadev resides in the tract of land known as Harivarsh. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I shall describe to you how Prahlad Maharaj caused the Lord to assume the form of Nrisingadev. Prahlad Maharaj, the topmost devotee of the Lord, is a reservoir of all the good qualities of great personalities. His character and activities have delivered all the fallen members of his demoniac family. He has all good qualities, and actually in his prayers it will describe to how to get all good qualities. Lord Nrisingadev is very dear to this exalted personality, and also he is very dear to Lord Nrisingadev. He is dear to Lord Nrisingadev, and Lord Nrisingadev is dear to him. Thus Prahlad Maharaj, along with his servants and all the denizens of Harivarsha, worship Lord Nrisingadev by chanting the following mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasingaya. Namaste jaste jase aviribhava vajjanaka vajjadamstra kamasayan randaya randaya tamograsa grasoham om svaha abhayam abhayam atmani buyishta om traum. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisingadev, the source of all power. He was the personified anger of the Lord. And what caused the Lord to assume a form or to become fully angry? And that was when his devotee, dear devotee, who was just depending upon him, was threatened by his demoniac father. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Nrisingadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, vajra. His nails and teeth are like thunderbolts, so hard and powerful. With those, O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, unstoppable, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruit of activities in this world. So that maya that Bhadrasva and Lord Shiva are saying that only the Lord can remove, Prahlad is explaining a manifestation of that maya. The next two verses also he's going to explain how maya manifests. One is fruit of activities, that desire for fruit of activities. What's a fruit of activity? A selfish activity. Subtly, grossly selfish. And it is called demonic. Why? because Krishna is not in the center. It is unnatural for the soul. So he's saying, you're so powerful, Lord, with your diamond vajra, thunderbolt-like nails and thunderbolt-like teeth. Vanquish, please remove these desires from our heart. The desires for fruit of activities, selfish activities. Why? This binds us in the material world. We'll have to come back again and again to satisfy these desires and to reap the fruit of my activities that I have acted in to try to achieve my desires. Please, he says, appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance. Because these are based on ignorance. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of who we are, that we're souls, that we're eternal. It's based on ignorance, these fruit of desires. Drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. I'll read all his prayers, and then we'll read Prabhupada's purports. So what other? So fruit of activities, these desires. A sitting in the heart, a result of Maya, causing us to remain in this world, this terrifying world of death. What else? Envy, like a spear in the heart, causing so much pain. Jealousy, not being able to tolerate the success and the happiness and the good fortune of others. Text 9. May there be good fortune throughout the universe. And may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. So different from envy. Envy thinks of another's what? Does an envious person think of another's welfare, what's good for the person? And he's praying for the good for a person. What does an envious person think? Huh? Yeah, and what else?
Deception.
Yeah, you want to see him, even if you don't get it, at least let him lose it. Let him suffer. Envy. Horrible, horrible thoughts. So he's praying to Lord Nisringadeva, not only for himself. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, not only for me, but for everyone. May all envious persons be pacified. What does pacified mean? Calm. The Pacific Ocean is peaceful. Peaceful. Let everyone's heart and minds become calm and peaceful. Their envy will automatically go if they become peaceful. What mode of material nature is peace born out of? Goodness. Let them come to goodness. Let their envy be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Instead of thinking harm for others, they will think good for others. Compassionate. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. My dear Lord, here's the next one. And this is the one that he's going to emphasize, actually. So envy, jealousy, what was the first one? Fruit of desires, envy, jealousy. Huh? Based on ignorance. And now text 10. My dear Lord, we pray that we may never feel attraction for the prison of family life, consisting of home, wife, children, friends, bank balance, relatives, and so on. If we do have some attachment, In other words, these things are the root of material attachment. And if we do have some attachment, let it not be to material things that are temporary, but let it be for devotees whose only dear friend is Krishna. Suridam sabhabhutanam. A person who is actually self-realized and who has controlled his mind is perfectly satisfied with the bare necessities of life. He does not try to gratify his senses. When you think of course, there are, the term bear can also mean, do they have bears in Australia? Huh? Oh yes, koala bears, of course. But not that kind of a bear. The bare necessities of life. When you think of a bare room, what's in a bare room? Not bears. No, I already said not that kind of bear. I can't bear those kind of jokes. When you think of a bare room, what do you think of? What does it have in it? Walls and floors and ceilings and nothing else. It's empty, basically. So a person who is self-realized, he's perfectly satisfied with the bare necessities of life. If our room is bare, we want to fill it up immediately. Because we're not satisfied. But what would it cause someone to be satisfied with his life is bare, empty of material elements, basically. And he's satisfied. He's not hankering. He's not longing to fill it up with material things. So he's self-realized. He's getting pleasure from his relationship with Krishna, from his self. Self is the servant of Krishna. So no material attachments, spiritual attachments. Such a person, he does not try to gratify his senses. Such a person quickly advances in Krishna consciousness, whereas others who are too attached to material things find advancement very difficult. Like trying to swim holding so many rocks, big boulders, and trying to swim. What will happen? So difficult. Sink, drown. So envy, let it be gone. Let material attachments be gone by your grace, Lord Nisringadev. And let this desire for fruit of activities also be gone. Now how can all these things be gone? Text 11. By associating with persons for whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, is the all in all. What does all in all mean? Idiomatic expression. What does all in all mean? We use it. Everything. Krishna is everything for such a person. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadan. Mother, father, wealth, everything. So glorious. He has no other love, attachment, desire, necessity. So wonderful. So by associating with persons for whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, is the all in all, one can hear of his powerful activities. So the association means hearing about Krishna. And soon come to understand him, his powerful activities. Understand them, those powerful activities. The activities of Mukunda are so potent, so powerful, that simply by hearing of them, one immediately associates with the Lord. For a person who constantly and very eagerly hears narrations of the Lord's powerful activities, the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead in the form of sound vibration enters within his heart and cleanses it of all contaminations. What did I just read? if one is always associating with Krishna by hearing about him from such exalted persons, Krishna enters the heart and he himself cleanses that heart of all contamination. What contaminations? Envy, material attachment, fruit of activities, fruit of desires. On the other hand, although bathing in the Ganges diminishes bodily contaminations and infections, this process and the process of visiting holy places can cleanse the heart. This process and visiting holy places can cleanse the heart only after a long time. And if one hears about Krishna continuously, always associating with Krishna in that way, then Krishna does the cleansing and it's very rapid. Therefore, who is the sane man who will not associate with devotees to quickly perfect his life? And what is the result of hearing? One result? All the demigods, text 12, and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. On the other hand, so all good qualities come to that person and the demigods. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How then, how can there be any good qualities in such a man? Just as aquatics, what is an aquatic? What's an example of an aquatic? That's one example, an octopus. And what's another aquatic? Fish. What else? Huh?
Seahorse.
Another aquatic.
Timangila
fish. A whale.
Shark.
Barracuda. Goldfish. What do all these fish have in common? What do all these have in common? They live in the water. So they are called aquatics. Just as aquatics always desire to remain in the vast mass of water, they want to be in the water, all conditioned living entities naturally desire to remain in the vast existence of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if someone very great by material calculation fails to take shelter of the Supreme Soul, but instead becomes attached to material household life, his greatness is like that of a young, low-class couple. One who is too attached to material life loses all good spiritual qualities. So without, even though desiring to be with Krishna naturally, if one gets attached to materialistic household life, one will lose all one's good spiritual qualities. In the final verse of Prahlad's prayers, therefore, O demons, he's talking to those who associate with him, who are, if they associate with Prahlad, they won't be demons really, give up the so-called happiness of family life and simply take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nisringadev, which are the actual shelter of fearlessness. Entanglement in family life is the root cause of material attachment, indefatigable desires, moroseness, anger, despair, fear, and the desire for false prestige, all of which result in the repetition of birth and death. So he's really praying, let Lord Nisringadev, with his sharp nails and teeth, rip these fruit of desires, this envy, these material attachments, especially attachment to family life, from my heart. Let him rip them from my heart. So those are Prahlad's prayers, and that takes us to 15 now. I'd like to read some purports. Wonderful purports. Prabhupada's purport to text 18. And Srimad, this was about Fearless, when he first asked that the Lord vanquish the fruit of demonic tendency for fruit of desires from the heart. Sanat Kumar, in Srimad Bhagavatam 4.22.39, Sanat Kumar speaks the following words to Maharaj Prithu. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhakta karma sayan gratitam udgratayanti shanta tadvana rikta matayo yatayo pirudha shoto ganastam maranam bhajavasudevam. Aranam is one of the words. What does aranam mean? Aranam. How does Prabhupada translate that? Oh, it's not in this verse. Aranam. Maybe someone could look it up. 4.22.39. Devotees always engaged in the service of the toes of the Lord's lotus feet can very easily become free from the hard-knotted desires for fruit of activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, cannot stop the waves of sense gratification, although they try to do so. Therefore, you are all advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. That's interesting. You look. You find that word. Every living being within this material world has a strong desire to enjoy matter to his fullest satisfaction. For this purpose, the conditioned soul must accept one body after another, and thus his strongly fixed fruit of desires continue. One cannot stop the repetition of birth and death without being completely desireless. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami describes pure bhakti devotional service as follows. Anya vilasita sunyam jnanakramana vita anukulena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruit of activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Unless one is completely freed of all material desires, which are caused by the dense darkness of ignorance, one cannot fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, we should always offer our prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, who killed Hiranyakashipu, the personification of material desires. The personification of false ego, practically speaking, because he even dared to fight with the Lord. So proud. Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means a soft cushion or bed. Materialistic persons always desire to make the body comfortable, and for this they require huge amounts of gold. Thus, Hiranyakashipu was the perfect representative of materialistic life. He was therefore the cause of great disturbance to the topmost devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, until Lord Nrisimhadev killed him. Any devotee aspiring to be free of material desires, anyone happen to be aspiring to be free from material desires? Here is a prescription. Should offer his respectful prayers to Nrisimhadev as Prahlad Maharaj did in this verse. So that was Prabhupada's comment on that verse describing Prahlad's prayer to Nrisimhadev, requesting him to remove the fruit of desires from his heart. Now, his prayers that everyone's heart become pacified and free from envy, and who everyone thinking of the welfare of others, Prabhupada's purport. The following verse describes a Vaishnava. Vanshakopaturubhyascha kripa sindhu vayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons, like his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself, rather he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava, who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free from envy. Parama nimatsaranam. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kala prasidatam. May all the envious persons be pacified. The material world is full of envious persons, but if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manas chabadram bhajatam bhadhukchaje. Therefore we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahir Nrisimha Hridaye Nrisimha. Let Lord Nrisimhadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean, so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine purport in this regard. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from Him. Even pure devotees, nishkam devotees, pray for some benediction, as instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sri Kastak. Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram vititamam vishame bhavambudal kripaya tavapara pankaja vipaduli sadvisham vachintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda, O Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Yet, somehow or other, I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from the ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms of your lotus feet. So a request. So it's proper to pray, both pray and ask. Give praise, glorify, and ask for benedictions. In another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, Mama janmani janmani shvare bhavat tad bhakti rahituki twai. Life after life, kindly let me have unalloyed love and devotion at your lordship's lotus feet. When Prahlad Maharaj chants, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, he prays for a benediction from the Lord. But because he is also an exalted Vaishnava, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. The first desire expressed in his prayer is Svastiastu Vishvasya, let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. Prahlad Maharaj thus requested the Lord to be merciful to everyone, including his father, a most envious person. According to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is a snake, and the other is the man, like Hiranyakashipu, who is by nature envious of everyone, even of his father or son. Hiranyakashipu was envious of his little son, Prahlad. But Prahlad Maharaj asked a benediction for the benefit of his father. Hiranyakashipu was very envious of devotees, but Prahlad wished that his father and other demons like him would give up their envious nature by the grace of the Lord and stop harassing the devotees. Kala prasidatam. The difficulty is that the kala, envious living entity, is rarely pacified. One kind of kala, the snake, can be pacified simply by mantras or by the action of a particular herb. Mantro shadi vasha sarpa kalakena navaryate. An envious person, however, cannot be pacified by any means. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. So no aranam. You found it? What is the meaning?
It's connected with the tam aranam. Tam is unto him. Aranam, worthy to take shelter.
Worthy of taking shelter of. We just read a verse, and that word was in it, and we looked it up. Aranam. Worthy of taking shelter of. Taking shelter of. Nice name. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if by the grace of Krishna everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. So what a very big responsibility. If we are in the Krishna consciousness movement and become or remain selfish and not think of the welfare of others. This movement means that we will think of the welfare of others and not be selfish. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays, Shivam Mito Dhyā. In material activities, everyone is envious of others. But in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. That means that no one thinks or wishes harm for another. Only thinking of the benefit of another. How wonderful. So if our Krishna consciousness movement becomes like this Krishna consciousness movement, there will be people breaking down the door saying, please let me join, let me come in. Huh? It might be the sweet rice. This is the sweetest of rice. Lack of, when someone's heart is free of envy, it's so wonderful. Most wonderful thing. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle. How? By being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, bhajatam adhuksa jay. As indicated elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, savai mana Krishna padaravindayo. And as advised by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, man mana bhava mad bhakta, one should constantly think of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. This is the methodology. Then one's mind will certainly be cleansed. Cheto dharpana marjanam. Materialists always think of sense gratification, but Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be all right. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in that way, the whole universe would be vacated because everyone would go back home, back to Godhead. However, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this is impossible because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living entities is actually delivered by the Krishna conscious movement, another set will fill the entire universe. So if anyone is worried, how will the world go on? if everyone goes back to Godhead and becomes pure, you should give up your worry. There'll be plenty more impure souls ready to take their place. One time a reporter asked Prabhupada, what will happen to the factories if everyone becomes Krishna conscious? Prabhupada said, let the factories go to hell. Who cares what will happen to them? That was saying, what will happen? It's like saying, what will happen to the poor Centrelink offices if everyone becomes a millionaire? Won't it be a real problem because no one will be in the Centrelink offices if everyone's a millionaire? Who will be on? How will the poor welfare workers? What will they do if everyone is a millionaire? Okay. So we'll continue talking about Prahlad Maharaj's prayers tomorrow, or possibly we'll continue with the next section. Lakshmi Devi's prayers. So nice. Now we have to read some of more of Prahlad's prayers tomorrow. And then we move to Ketumala, I think, Varsha. And we'll hear Lakshmi Devi's, yes, Ketumala Varsha, and Lord Kamadev, presumably, is worshipped there and by Lakshmi Devi, and we'll hear about her prayers, which are also quite wonderful. Thank you. Any questions or comments? We have a few more moments. That was what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said.
It was so visible
in the spiritual world.
Why do we want to come back
there?
Why do we want to come here to the material world?
I don't think we wanted to.
Mm-hmm. We just made a mistake and we had to.
Well, there's some. It's too complicated for me to understand. I think it's one of those things that one can't actually understand the answer to the question of how and why we're in the material world when one is in the material world. Prabhupada, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, he says, there's no need to ask that question. Krishna knows how and why and when. We can't understand because our consciousness is bound by time. And this happened before material time, whatever happened. So when you look at it from one point of view, you can maybe get one answer. If you look at it from another point of view, you get another answer. But the real emphasis that is on getting out. Some people will say we were in the spiritual world with Krishna, and then we came to the material world, and then that question comes up: how could we ever do that? And then if someone will say we were always in the material world, then the question is, well, who put us here? Krishna's so cruel. So whatever point you take is a problem. Because it's not possible for really to understand it while we're in the world of Maya. So if we get out of the world of Maya, then we probably won't care. So the real thing is to get out.
To us it seems like an eternity, but when we're out of it, then it's just like a second, right?
I don't know, I'm not out of it yet. When I get there, I'll send you a telegram. An email, excuse me, no one uses, and I'll tell you. Yes, it seemed like a second. You're right, Jikitana. It's just a second, don't worry about a thing. Seems like an eternity, but... Anyway, having a great time, wish you were here. Come on over. Yeah, there's millions of years. It describes earlier in the third canto, a description of time when the life of Lord Brahma, millions of years, is compared to a flash of lightning over the ocean. Did you ever see lightning flash, heat lightning or something over the ocean? Just poof, and it's gone, just like that. So life of Lord Brahma is billions of years. So in eternity, everything looks different from the point of view of eternity. Do you have an email address, by the way?
I don't have a computer.
Well, you better get one, otherwise I won't be able to contact you. Oh, I keep saying. Yeah, okay. Okay? That'll really help.
Yeah.
Solve all your problems. Any other questions that I won't be able to answer? Any questions that we'll be able to answer? Okay, yes.
Is it simple enough just to pray to an initiative or Krishna to ask to be free from envy, but we make arrangements in our devotional service to perhaps realize this, or it's a matter of Denise comes in?
It's hard to take to the process as fully as recommended here, which is the total cure, the constant remembrance of Krishna. If one was able to do that, then it would actually be instantaneous. Actually, there would be no envy in the heart. But the problem is when one has envy in the heart and one has these problems, has desires and artas, so many things, then one can't think about Krishna continuously, because one's controlled by the lower modes of material nature. But yet the desire to be like that is very powerful. And it's just a matter of time. If we desire to be with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, to serve Krishna, it's just a matter of time before Krishna satisfies that desire. To actually do these things is beyond our power. To be with Krishna always, to always remember Him, to remember always His pastimes, it's actually beyond our own power at this time. But Krishna can do it, but we cannot force Him to do it. But we can do our part and desire as best we are able at this time, and try our best. So he said, try to always remember Krishna, and try to arrange our life so it's easier to remember Krishna as much as possible. That's why Prabhupada said was so nice about book distribution, because naturally you're talking about Krishna. If you have a different kind of job, it's not as direct. If you're worshipping the deity, it's direct. If you're always chanting, it's direct. But whatever our situation is, we should try to arrange our life in such a way that we can remember Krishna and not forget Him. Sarva vidhi nishela cha ityayeva kinkara. This is the essence of all rules and regulations. Okay?
You're saying these verses. Can you explain what they are exactly? The verses? I mean, you just said what they are, but what's the overall picture of what they are?
It's a secret.
Yeah. Yeah,
I could. Tell us in the call
version. Yeah. Yeah. I refer you to other books and personalities more learned and realized than myself. All I can do is basically read what's said.
They sound like they're planets.
Yeah. They sound like they're Varshas.
What does that mean? Well, that's a Varsha. That's a planet, isn't it?
A
land, yes.
Yeah, like a division, an area, section. I think I can't remember exactly how it's translated.
Is it on this earth or in
the entire universe? On this earth. It's probably not on this earth that you're thinking of as this earth. Anyway, you're asking the wrong person. I don't understand it. It's beyond me. I know that there are other exalted devotees who are piecing together what all this kind of thing, what the universe looks like, etc. Sataputta Prabhu and maybe others. I have a book in Vrindavan that you can borrow on it. But you have to go to Vrindavan to get it, because I don't have it here, sorry. You going to Vrindavan soon?
Yes.
Well, there you go. You have something to do while you're there. You can read about the universe and try to figure it out. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Lord Nisringadev ki jai. May Lord Nisringadev take out with his sharp vajra-like nails and teeth all the demonic fruit of desires within our hearts and the envy within our hearts. And what's the other one? Attachments, material attachments, and let us become simply attached to Krishna. These prayers are so nice.